185 in your hymn book. You thankful that the Lord brought you out tonight?
Amen.
Well, I'm so glad that the Lord brought you out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. And if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy me out, and I've been happy since the Lord brought me out, and if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? And aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? And I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad. You turn and greet one another this evening. shout since the Lord brought me out. And if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Let's sing it this way. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. I've been so happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, and if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. And good to be in service again tonight to worship the Lord. And we got a testimony that I want to share. Brother Japheth had put in a prayer request for Sister Laura Prakash. She'd got stepped on by a horse and her foot was swollen really bad. And when she was sitting in the service on Sunday morning while Brother Branham was talking about healing, she felt that swelling begin to go down. And by Sunday evening, she could get her foot back in her regular shoes. So I know with the heat like it was and the humidity on Sunday, that's not normal for swelling to go down in those conditions. Normally, it would swell worse. So we believe the Lord gave her a touch from Him and certainly appreciate that that testimony. And want to remember Hadassah Leek. She's got elevated jaundice levels and just want to remember her in prayer that the Lord will come on the scene with that situation. And then also I want to remember Peyton in prayer, my little grandniece. They're putting casts on both of her ankles tomorrow. And then Brother Daniel Gissendander, a pastor from the Atlanta, Georgia area, he accidentally shot himself through his left hand last week with a .45 pistol. And he's back home, but he's had three surgeries on his hand since then, and the doctors think he may never regain the full use of that hand. So we're just believing together that the Lord will touch him and heal him and let him get the use of his hand back. So also Sister April Stutzman, she had a flare-up of the shingles, is in a lot of pain, so we want to remember her in prayer tonight. And little Chloe, she's got a fever. And just want to continue to remember the situation with the believers in Nigeria facing persecution there. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen and amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Jimmy, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, there's no greater name than the name of Jesus. Lord, there's power in that name. And Lord, when Satan comes in and he rages around like a roaring lion, Lord, you raise up a standard. And Father, we bring our request to you tonight, knowing that you're more than able to take care of each and every one of them. Father, just Satan just fighting us, Lord, on every hand. Lord, that you give us this little place of refuge, Lord. And Father, we give you praise and honor. Lord, when we entered into these gates here tonight, Lord, we came here for no other reason but to lift you up. And you said if you'd be lifted up, you'd draw all men nigh. So, Father, we ask you, Lord, tonight to lift us up close to you, Lord. Bring your word forth in a mighty way, Lord. Increase our faith, Lord. Father, we give you the praise and honor for this service tonight. We turn it over to you, Lord. And we just love you and appreciate all you do for us. In Jesus' name.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 372 in your hymn book.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I can say my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. There is the sea of God's forgetfulness that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old-time altar where God came in. my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. They are underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary.
Well,
I'm thankful that the Lord laid this on Brother Nathan's heart. I'm going to start it. I'm going to ask him to come up here and sing it, because I can't sing it like he can, but it's on my heart to sing it. So you help me out here.
Lord, I'm determined to keep on believing, though others fall.
Why don't we stand and sing it tonight? Oh, Lord, I'm determined, gonna keep on believing. Though others fall away, I'll keep on receiving. Oh, for I'm fully persuaded. Testimony tonight. Why don't we sing it one more time? Oh, yes, Lord, I'm determined to keep on believing. Lord, and though others fall away, I'll keep on receiving. Lord, because I'm fully persuaded.
That's your desire tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't know what he was going to sing when he said a song Brother Nathan had on his heart, or Lord put on his heart. I thought I didn't tell him nothing to sing tonight, but I know what he means now. The Lord gave that to me when he was back at the storefront. I was sitting there studying one day and just went out into the sanctuary area there and began to play the guitar a little bit, and that chorus just came on my heart. But I am determined this evening. Amen. I hope you are too. And the song he was singing there before, A New Creation, I was just studying today. Thank you, brother. Let me try to redo this here. Technical difficulties, but does that fix it, brother? The song he was singing there, I'm a New Creation, I was just studying today in Future Home, and Brother Branham was talking about how that word there, to pass away, didn't mean to annihilate, but that it was to refurbish or to restore, and how that he pointed back there in the book of Peter and different ones, Peter chapter or 2 Peter chapter 3, there he begins to refer to how he said that it would be consumed with the fervent heat, the heavens and the earth and all that, and it would be a new creation. He said, Brother Branham made the statement in Future Home there, he said, then physical death will pass away just as spiritual death has already passed away. So, amen. Thank God for revelation. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, into your Bibles this evening to St. John's Gospel. St. John's Gospel, chapter 21. And we've got quite a few families on vacation, so you just amen a little extra tonight to fill in the gaps. St. John, chapter 21, and verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Right. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again together, Lord, I just ask that you would add your blessings to the reading of the word. Lord, we recognize that the word is inspired, but Lord, I just ask that you would anoint me and give me inspiration to speak something that would encourage and strengthen the little group that's here this evening. Father, may you just be with us, comfort us. Lord, draw us closer to you. Lord, may through the preaching of the word, Lord, may hearts be quickened, may lives be changed, may, Lord, questions be answered. Father, may you just move in a supernatural way in our midst tonight, Father, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I think it's interesting that God would lay it on John's heart to write this portion of the gospel. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't really pick this story up and share it. But John, the Holy Spirit, quickens this to him to share this to us when it was about him. And in his humility, he doesn't come right out and even say who it was that Jesus said it to. He always calls himself, through the book of John, that disciple that Jesus loved. He never comes right out and says his name till the very end, sharing who that was in the very last chapter there. But John, as a real true servant of Christ, not trying to put the emphasis on himself. But I find it interesting here that Peter begins to look around and being maybe a little bit more established, and here he was, the one that Jesus said was going to have the keys to the kingdom. He looks at this younger disciple and he asks Jesus, he said, now what's he going to do? And Jesus said, what's it to you if he tarries until I come? Now here Jesus, he dies and he's buried and he rises again. And the disciples go back and they begin to remember this saying, and they're looking for him to come again, as he promised there in Acts chapter 1, that the same Jesus that they saw ascending would come back in like manner. And they're looking for this to come. And so the scripture says that there went this saying abroad among the brethren. Now, Jesus, I want to look at this tonight. We're still, just to clarify, we're still looking at spiritual abuse tonight, and maybe it'll make a little bit more sense to you how this ties in with that, but in a little bit. But this saying begins to go abroad among the brethren that this disciple isn't going to die until the second coming of Christ. Now, I want you to notice the saying went abroad. This wasn't just something that somebody said once upon a time, but this began to be a doctrine that was actually taught. It was something that went abroad. It was something that went from this one brother to another brother, and they began to form a little circle around it, and they began to form a doctrine, and maybe they was looking at John and saying, oh goodness, look at John. There he is on the Isle of Patmos, and here he is over here in this condition. Here he is pastoring the church of Ephesus, and they would begin to watch.
watch him and watch his life and say, well, goodness, the coming of the Lord must be just right around the corner, because I'm watching John, and you know, he's had a little cough lately, and he's just barely hanging on. I don't know. So the coming of the Lord must just be right around the corner. And this saying went abroad among the brethren. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus never got up and preached a sermon on this. He never preached a series on this. This is just one statement that Jesus made in passing, but yet the brethren begin to pick this up and make a doctrine about it that begins to go abroad. But John, the man who the statement was made about, he didn't go along with the flag saying, hey, look at me, I'm the barrier line, I'm the plumb line, rather. Everybody look at me, look at my life, look at my age, look at my personality, look what I'm doing, because if I'm gone, then you missed it, boys. He said that's not what Jesus said at all. John comes around and clarifies it. Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? We have to be very careful when the word says something to say what the word says. Not to say what your opinion is, not to say what somebody else's opinion is, but to say what the word says. Now, we're going to look at that tonight. A lot of the problems that raise up, whether it would be out in denominationalism, whether it be in ages gone by, or right down into the message, it comes the same thing. Most of the problems that raise up and cause confusion is when men begin to get up and say their own opinion, which is contrary to what the written word already said. Now, we looked at it last week on Wednesday night, how that, you know, that we could read between the lines. I believe the bride of Jesus Christ has the ability to do that. The prophet of God definitely did. He brought things out that it's not right there on the line, yet it's between the line. But yet we must be careful when we're reading between the lines to make sure that it's not contrary to what's already on the lines. Because if your opinion of what you think you see between the lines is contrary to what's on the line, then it wasn't the Holy Ghost that gave it to you. You say, oh, the Holy Spirit showed me that. It might have been a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit if it was contrary to what the word already said. Now, you know, brothers begin, if they're not careful, yeah, we like to try to connect the dots. And I'm not a very good artist here, but let me just show you this little demonstration tonight. Now, if God puts something in the word and you're reading between the lines and God's got it there, to connect the dots, all that you can do is just connect those dots just like that. And you get what God had in mind. Now, all I did was I just drew a line, connected each dot. So that's what God's word is. He gives us something plainly in the scripture, or maybe it's even a mystery, but yet when we begin to look into the word and the Holy Spirit reveals it, whether it be through the prophet or whether it be through a scripture, whatever it would be, and we begin to see, oh my, this matches this over here and this matches that over there, and it goes together just right the way that God had it planned, but yet you can try to look at it, and you begin to look and you say, oh, but Brother Nathan, let me use myself for an example tonight. I could look at that and I look at it and I say, oh, now wait a minute, boys, that's too simple. That's too simple, the design that you have. When I look at that, you see, my name is Nathan, and when I look at that, this is what I see. That's what I see. That's how I believe that we should connect the dots. Now, you brothers with your square doctrine over there, you just go on that. You guys are so out of touch, and you're back in some other age, but that's what I see. But there's a problem with this, because the dots aren't fully connected. There's still gaps there that are missing where it's not fully connected. Now, Brother Zion sitting back there, I'll pick on him. You know, he's beginning to be a young man, and he's beginning to study the word a little bit, and he could look at it and say, now, Brother Nathan, I disagree with you. It's not about you in the first place, but my name is Zion, and that's what I see when I connect the dots. I look at it that way. Well, once again, we've got some gaps. There's something that, you know, when you try to zigzag back and forth between this quote and that quote and half a scripture over here and half a paragraph over there, and there's gaps, you see here, that's missing. Something that's not connected. Well, that's taken away from what the original plan of God was. Yet you're trying to connect dots, but you're not connecting it in the way that God did. Now somebody else can say, oh, you brothers, you just aren't spiritual at all. See, this is what I see when I connect the dots. I'm going to have a pyramid there and add that in the middle of the square. Well, there's no little dot up there to add that to, so you just added to the word. Where Brother Zion and I were taken away from the plan there, now you've added something. Some other brother come along and said, oh, no, you know, it's about Israel. Let's do this here, and we'll make it really spiritual. So when you go to connect the dots and you try to take this scripture and compare it with that scripture, make sure you're doing it with the understanding of the Holy Spirit, because He won't try to lead you off on some limb that you can't get back on, because there's no dot to connect you back to the original branch. Oh my, is this the sign of the end, sir, 1962? And if you happen to get the tape, whoever is listening to the tape, remember, if something is puzzling to you, don't say it unless it's on the tape. Don't say something contrary to what's on the tape. He said, so many write in on the serpent seed and say that I said such and such. I go get the tape, play it over. I did not say it that way. See, people misjudge things. Now here, there's good brothers and good sisters sitting and listening to the tape and trying to receive something from it, and they try to take over, and they're gonna connect the dots, and they say, okay, he said this over here in paragraph so-and-so, and he said this over here, and A plus B minus C equals D, and they begin to try to figure out some kind of an algorithm, and they said, Brother Branham, we was listening to that tape the other day, and we sure, oh my, what you said there on the serpent seed, I got the revelation of that. He said, I don't remember saying that, but I'll go back and listen to the tape. And he said, I went and I played the tape back, and I did not say that. But yet they sat there and heard the same tape he did and heard something completely different, because they were connecting the dots differently than he drew them. They heard something completely different, but yet the prophet of God, the man that preached the words on the tape, the man that spoke the very thing, he went back and said, that's not what I heard at all. They said, well, I sat there and bless God, I caught the revelation. He said, just say what it says. Oh my. He says, you know, Jesus one time after his resurrection was walking down the shore with the apostles, and John was leaning on his bosom, and they said, what will happen to this man? Jesus said, what is it to thee if he tarries till I come? And there went out a saying that John was going to live to see Jesus come. And the scripture says, howbeit, he never said it that way. You see, he never said that. He just said, what is it to you if he tarries till I come? He never said he would tarry, but see, misunderstanding, it's so easy. Oh my, maybe that's another one we need to get t-shirts printed of. Misunderstanding, it's so easy. And then when somebody tries to give you their pet doctrine and it's contrary to the word, you can just show them, misunderstanding, it's so easy. That's what many do around the message. They listen to the same tapes you listen to. They read the same quotes that you listen to. They have the same table software on their phone that you have, and yet they sit and listen, and they hear something completely different to what you're hearing. Yet they're hearing the same words. They're hearing the same vibrations of the same vocal cords that was recorded on magnetic tape. They're looking at the same words on the page or on the screen that you would look at, and they take and hear something completely opposite than what you hear. That shouldn't be any surprise. Here was 12 disciples, and 11 of them walk away and they say, hey, you hear what he said about John? Oh boy, I can't wait to get back to the synagogue and share this revelation. And John said, that's not what he said, boys. Hey, I'm the one he was talking about. If anybody should know, it should be me. You know, that's how I think some of us preacher brothers feel when they get on their preaching basher rants, you know, and we say, hey, look, he was talking about us. If anybody knew, you know, what he was talking about, it should be us, I guess. Well, glory. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now here is the first commandment that God gives. He says, eat of all the trees in the garden, but of this one tree of knowledge, which we know, Brother Bram said there was two trees there in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. And once they ate of the tree of knowledge, then there was angels there with the flaming sword where man couldn't get back and eat of the tree of knowledge to try to work himself back in and say, look what I did. But the only access we could have to the tree of knowledge was when Jesus Christ, he said those two trees were two persons standing there, Jesus and the serpent, and he said that the access that we have now back to the tree of knowledge isn't through our works, that we're going to go find a tree somewhere over in Africa or Egypt or somewhere over there where the Nile and all that meets together, but it's by the blood, the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. It was a spiritually hid, supernaturally, angels there with flaming swords hiding this revelation.
nation, but yet there would be a prophet come and restore that truth back to us. And here they stand, and before the fall takes place, God gives them the simplicity of his word. They didn't have all the books of Moses to have to try to memorize, and all of Levitical law of do's and don'ts, and thou shalt not. They had one thing to obey, and yet through the fall, they disobeyed this very thing. How could they do it? Because they listened to somebody that was connecting the dots wrong. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now here he's already misquoting the word. He's trying to throw a legalistic thing off of her. Hey, can you believe God would tell that to you, that you can't eat of any tree? She said, now wait a minute. She begins to debate with him. And, you know, if she'd had Facebook, she would have started commenting back and forth with him and arguing about the message, or, oh my. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She starts to stand up for the gospel. She's going to take a stand for the message. She said, no, that's not what he said. You're misrepresenting. Presenting it, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now here he adds one word. One word is all that he changes here. This is a direct, you know, if we would say, you know, 63 or 65 or 59 or whatever, this is a direct quote of the word of God with just one word added. And it causes everything that we've seen, every ambulance we've heard, every sick baby, every death, every pain, every gray hair in Brother Hoover's head, this caused right here. And mine too, brother. One word, ye shall not surely die. Now he misinterprets the word to her. He's quoting the word, but Brother Branham said it this way. He said he coded it. He didn't really quote it. He coded it. He begins to try to twist the word and tries to teach her the word, but yet he teaches her a perverted version of the word. Now, you that was here Sunday night when we played the seed shall not be ere with the shuck, Brother Branham deals with this. He begins to talk about Genesis and how this happened in disobedience to the word, how it brought death. And he said, now somebody said, well, that's way back in Genesis, and we'll look at it here. I'll read the scriptures that he refers to. He said, Jesus came around in the middle of the book and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then it comes around in the end in the book of Revelations and says, any man that adds to this, it'll be added to him the plagues that are in the book. And any man that takes from it, his name will be taken from the book. So they're cursed either way, whether they add to it or whether they take away and leave it out when they're trying to connect the dots. Now, Satan here, he begins to add to the word and he says, ye shall not surely die. And now he's going to explain his doctrine to her. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, if he had just made the statement, ye shall not surely die, she might have not even caught it. She may have just received it as a slip of the tongue or a misquote or something like that. But now he begins to explain his doctrine of why this is, that why he believes that God won't kill her, that God's just trying to keep you from something that you really would be better off with. You know, that spirit isn't dead. A lot of our teenagers and a lot of our middle age and different ones still fight with that. Oh, the message says this and the Bible says this, but you know, Satan will begin to whisper in your ear and say, oh, but this is a better way. You should just go out. You know, God just doesn't want you to be free. And so you just go out and do whatever you want and you be free. That's not freedom. That's serving the devil. Amen. You can serve God or you can serve the devil, but you're going to serve somebody. So you can make up your mind for yourself, but you have to serve somebody. You're being anointed by some power tonight. Now, that doesn't mean that you're a devil or that you're an angel, but yet whatever we do, every decision that we make, Brother Branham says, is anointed from that direction or that direction. Oh, you say, well, he also said which way is up and which way is down. But let's just, for the sake of argument, we're going to keep that direction for the example of hell. Is that all right? I'm not going to point up there for hell. So, Oh my, you're either being anointed from down there or you're being anointed from up there. Every decision we make. Now that doesn't mean just because one decision that you make is anointed from down here that you're a devil. No more than just one good thing that you do that was anointed from up there makes you a Christian or makes you saved or makes you filled with the Holy Ghost. But yet every decision, every action that we make, we're under some anointing that we're doing it under. We're either being anointed by God, by something positive, or are we being anointed by some evil spirit or whatever it be. Now that doesn't mean that you're demon possessed. The devil can put a thought in your mind, or he can tempt you, or whatever it would be. That doesn't mean that you're lost. That doesn't mean that you're demon possessed. It means that you need to get away from that anointing. Right. The man told Brother Branham, said the Indian chief, he said, since I got the Holy Ghost, said I have two dogs on the inside of me. One's a white dog and one's a black dog. And Brother Branham said, well, which one wins the most? He said, well, it's the one that I feed the most is the one that wins. So we can have an impact on that. Whatever we feed, whatever we've got our head in all the time, whatever we're looking at and reading and spending our time on, that's what we're feeding that inner man with. God's provided word for this day, 1964. He said, God will never judge the world by a church. He judges it by Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the Word. I just talked to a man today that he was talking to. I was talking to him on the phone. He was telling me about his son-in-law's family and how that they believe that if you don't follow a certain person or personality around the message, that you're just absolutely lost. I thought, goodness gracious, I'm so glad I don't live under that kind of fear, because God's not going to judge the world by a person or by a church or by a doctrine or by a creed or a following. He's going to judge it by His Word. He'll judge the church by the word, Brother Branham says. And if this is the revelation of Jesus Christ for all ages and for this age, He's revealed in this Bible what He would do in this age. And when we see it, do it. When we see Him do what He promised to do, not a virgin birth, that was 2,000 years ago, but what He promised to do today. What He said He would do today. That's what He is today. Many times people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you've got Eve's interpreter again. Just takes part of it, but not all of it. Amen. When you can show somebody, not your imagination, not your opinion, but you can show them quote after quote after quote. This is what Brother Branham said about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is what Brother Branham said about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is what Brother Branham said about going to church. This is what Brother Branham said about healing. This is what Brother Branham said about the ministry. This is what Brother Branham said about the Word. This is where he said the Word was anointed. He said these things. Whatever you want to show them, and you sit there and you show them and you show them and you show them. They say, well, I don't believe that. They've got Eve's interpreter. That's what he said here in black and white. You've got Eve's interpreter again. Just take part of it, but not all of it. Oh, my. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How are you going to live? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not your favorite quote, not your pet doctrine, not your favorite preacher, not your favorite personality, not your favorite tape. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we'll survive in this age. Brother Branham said it would take a scriptural trained church. Back in the beginning, God said, keep my word and live. And they disobeyed and they died. Jesus comes and he says, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is how man lives. In the middle of the book. Now in the end of the book, Revelations 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Adding to and taking away. One's just as bad as the other. Some add to it and say, well, bless God, we believe this over here. Can't find it in the Word anywhere, but that's what they believe. Others take away. Well, we know Brother Branham said that, but we believe that was for another age. Or we believe that that ceased because, you know, we have this and that now, and we don't need that anymore. Adding to or taking away. Both of them, a curse that follows them. I don't know about you. I don't want to be cursed. I want to be blessed. Amen. I want to live under the blessings of God, not under the curse of rejecting the word or trying to compromise with the word or change the word because of popular opinion or because of popularity, whatever it would be. But we see this creeps right in, this very same spirit that was there among the believers of the early first church age there. Here they are looking to John as, oh my, look what Jesus said about him. And John tries to explain to them, that is not what he said. You're misinterpreting the word. You're adding your own opinion. You're adding your own interpretation to it. Then it creeps right into the message and people look and say, oh my, well, you gotta sit under Brother Vail, or you gotta sit under this one's teaching or that one's teaching. And they try to connect the dots to make it say that. And they say, oh my, well, Brother Bam said, if you got any questions, ask Brother Vail. Rewind the tape a few paragraphs. He didn't say if you got any questions on doctrine, if you got any questions on revelation. He's talking about how Brother Vail was the campaign manager and about the schedule of the meetings. And he says, if you got any questions, go ask Brother Vail. That's how he connected the dots. But of course, other people want to connect the dots other ways. I don't mean to pick on Brother Vail tonight. He's passed away, and I believe he's in glory. From what I heard, he tried to recant on many of the teachings and things that he had stirred up around the message before he went out to the scene. I appreciate him being man enough to do that, but yet caused a lot of damage around the message because of following a personality instead of following what the dots were already traced out to be. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So when a man comes and tries to tell me that Brother Branham taught something different than Paul, when Brother Branham stood beyond the curtain of time and said, I taught the same thing that Paul taught, then all I have is one conclusion. Either that man is a liar or Brother Branham is a liar. You pick who you want. I don't believe Brother Branham was a liar because none of these guys that come up and say that kind of garbage to me are vindicated like he was, and their interpretation doesn't match the word like his did. Their revelation, they're trying to force the word to match their opinion. They're trying to force the word to match their desires, but they've got the cart before the horse. We don't try to make the word match our desire or match our opinion or match what we want it to be, but we try to make our opinion match the word. We try to make our desire to match the word. Paul said, whether he's an angel from heaven, whatever he is, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I again. Now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So it puts us in a scary position when we get up and we begin to contradict and make fun of things that Paul taught and say, oh, we don't believe that anymore, and run it down. When what Paul said, if you come and teach something contrary to this, there's a curse that follows this. Why? It's adding to or taking away. John comes and says the same thing in the book of Revelations. Now, he doesn't just say a man. He doesn't just say an angel. He says both, a man and an angel. Now, Brother Branham comes in the third seal in 1963, and he says, if that angel of the Lord told me anything that wasn't scriptural, I wouldn't believe him. Brother Branham had an absolute. His own anointing wasn't his absolute. The angel wasn't his absolute. His own commission wasn't his absolute. His opinion, his thoughts. No doubt he could sit and he could connect dots better than any of us. But he said, but when an angel stands and tells you and shows you in the scripture, he erased his dots and said, this is what the scripture says. And was man enough to get up and publicly state that. He said, I had it wrong. I looked at this one. I looked at Larkin. I looked at this one. I looked at Smith. I looked at that one. And he had tried, just by looking at it intellectually, the teachings of those men, trying to lay aside the error and try to connect the dots. And he said, I had it wrong. But when an angel stands and tells you and shows you in the scripture, he got out his eraser and erased his dot connecting and put it the way that the Holy Spirit had it and connected it right. I wish more message people would be able to do that, but sometimes their pride, you know, you would think if anybody had anybody, you know, just as far as a fleshly mortal would have a reason to be proud, it would have been Brother Branham because of the level that he was anointed to in his ministry, but yet he was just the opposite, came so humble. And yet some people that's not anointed, here he was speaking squirrels out of existence and speaking storms into existence, and they can't hardly speak a breath of air for their own body into existence for the next breath, and here they are trying to correct the prophet or trying to say this was wrong and that was wrong and all this over there. And what is it? Their pride won't let them admit that they're in error. But yet he could humble himself and say, look, I was wrong, but the angel came and showed me this in the scripture. Now he said if the angel came and showed him something that was contrary to the scripture, that he wouldn't even believe the angel. Now this angel, since he was a little bitty boy, Brother Jeremy, he had never, here he was, 4 years old, the angel speaking to him. 7 years old, a voice speaking to him out of a tree in a whirlwind. And this had followed him his entire life. He had heard this voice, and it had always been a scriptural voice. It had always been something that had spoke the truth to him and spoke the word to him. And yet he stands and says, if he came and showed me something that was contrary to the scripture, I wouldn't believe it. Yet he had never done that. But he didn't just say, well, bless God, he's never done it, so I'm gonna make this angel my absolute. He said, look, if he preaches any gospel contrary to what Paul taught, let him be accursed. Brother Branham said when Micah had the vision there about Ramoth-Gilead and about Ahab going up to the battle, he said he went back and made sure that it matched what Elijah had already spoke. He didn't just say, bless God, I got it. Wait till I get out here and show my vision. He goes back to the original word and he said, let me make sure that this is a scriptural voice. Now, Brother Branham would do this with an angel of God that would appear to him in a supernatural way, that he could be standing there and he could say, now that angel that you see isn't but 3 feet from me on the platform. And yet maybe thousands of people out there in the audience couldn't even see this being that was standing there beside him, but yet he could see it, he could feel it, he could hear it speak to him, and it had always told him the truth since he was a little boy. And yet he gets down to 1963 in the third seal, and he says, if he ever tells me anything that's not scriptural, I won't believe it. And yet people sit under pastors and personalities, and they just, you know, well, they hear this and they hear that, and well, that kind of raises a flag, and well, that's kind of disturbing. I don't see that in the Word. And they just sit under it and sit under it. Well, he was my daddy's pastor, Brother Hoover. He was my grandmother's pastor, and he's always been good to us. He baptized my great uncle, and he was just a drunk, just a in the gutter sinner, and he came down, and he talked to him, and he baptized him, and all of my, you know, he's done this, and he's done that, and he's helped us, and he's done all these things down through life, and all my, I don't think that he would intentionally steer us wrong, so I'm just going to let it go. I don't want to cause any ripples, and I don't want to cause any troubles. I think if he's saying it, he's a good brother, so maybe he knows more than I know. Brother Branham said, if the angel came and told me something contrary to the word, I wouldn't believe it. He says again, the Church Age book, page 147, there is only one plumb line, only one rod, and that is the word. Now, if you don't know what a plumb line is, it's kind of a weight that's got a point at the end of it that you hang from a line, and it's used to measure either the depth of something, like in a well or something down deep, or a pipe or a hole or whatever it would be, or you can use it on a freestanding structure, or you can go up and stand on top of a building or whatever it would be and measure the height of it. So it's to measure the depth and the height. I think that's scriptural, isn't it? What is the depth and height? And, you know, the scripture talks there of God. There's only one plumb line, only one rod, and that is the word. What's he saying? Only one way to measure. He says right before, or right after this, he says, away with experience. Away with experience. Stop trying to measure by your experience or somebody else's experience or your emotions, whether you felt good when you got out of bed today, whether you had the victory when you got out of bed today. Away with all of that. There's one measuring line. There's one plumb line. That's the Word of God. Well, but Brother Nathan, Brother so-and-so over here is teaching this, and Brother so-and-so over there made a comment the other day, and I'm so confused. What does the Word say? Forget personalities. Forget opinions. Forget people that get worked up and emotional and go off on some kind of a rant. What does the word say? Of Christ is the mystery, or Christ is revealed in his own word, 1965. He says now, he's giving us the three musts here. You've heard me quote this before. Now, you must not misinterpret the word. You say, well, I believe it means this. It means just what it says. Not some, it doesn't have to be some worked up, super intellectual, fantastical something. You know, a lot of brothers around the message, they feel like if they don't have something new to share with their congregation every service that nobody else is teaching, that they're going to lose the people's interest or something. I don't have anything new to share with you tonight. Amen. If you're looking for something new, you're probably at the wrong church. You might even be in the wrong zip code. You know, I don't have anything new to share with you tonight. I'm just pointing you back to what's already been said. I don't have any new revelations to give you. I don't have anything new that I can make up and try to convince you of. I'm trying to point you back to what the word already said. Amen. You must not misinterpret the word. You say, well, I believe it means this. It means just what it says. It needs no interpreter, and you must not misplace the word, and you must not dislocate the word. Now, those words seem awful similar. You think, well, that's kind of two things instead of three, but no, let's look at this. He says, you must not misinterpret the word. That means to, you know, go along and somebody say, well, I believe that it means this, and you say, well, no, that's not what the word says, and then you begin to express your opinion. Don't misinterpret it. Don't add the word plus Nathan Bryant's opinion or the word plus some other brother's opinion. What does the word say? Don't try to misinterpret it. Don't misplace it. Don't look for something in this age that's already been fulfilled in some other age. I'm not looking for the virgin birth. It's already came. I'm not looking for him to come and die in Calvary. It's already came. I'm not looking for him to come in the clouds. I know that even shocked some people around the message. He already came. We've got the picture of it. You saw it up here on the billboard. He came in that manner as far as in the clouds, but I'm looking for him to come in a physical body, and I'll have one like his own glorious body. Well, I'll just take a step one day and I'll be in that same dimension where he's at. Amen. I don't believe we've got there. Maybe you have. Maybe you're living in a dimension that I'm not, but I can still see you and you can still see me. So I don't think that you are. But I'm looking to change dimensions. Amen. That's what I'm looking for. But many times people look at the scriptures and, oh, we're looking for this and we're looking for that. And Jesus said they'll turn around one of these days and say, I thought Elias was to come. He said he already came and you didn't know it. What are they doing? They're misplacing the word. Bless God, I'm waiting for the woman president. Bless God, I'm waiting for the electric car. I'm waiting for the car that drives itself. Hey, we've already seen all that. We've already seen all that. You say, we haven't had no woman president. Brother Branham said it could be a woman president, but he said it would be the Catholic Church rising up in power in our nation. Go count how many Supreme Court justices we have and how many that are Catholic and see if it hasn't been fulfilled or not. We may have a woman president. I don't know, but I'm not waiting on that. I've already seen part of that fulfilled. I'm not going to wait on that and then get ready. I'm not going to wait till Google can sell you a car that you can go drive down the street. They've already got the car. They had the car back in Brother Branham's day, so they're just waiting on the roads for it. Now we've got the GPS and the radars and satellites and things where they don't even have to create special roads because it just senses it all laid out. He said, oh, look like a checkerboard sitting there in the car. We've seen the pictures of it. Mercedes has one that looks just like what he described to the T, shaped like an egg with a big tablet flat surface in the middle of the car. Would look like a checkerboard in 1937 whenever he saw it there. I'm not waiting for things that we've already seen fulfillment of. Now, I'm not saying there won't be more of a fulfillment. We may have a physical woman president. I don't know. But I'm not hanging on till then to get ready. You better get ready now. He said, you go back and read all that he said. He said, everything that needs to take place for the rapture could happen within a few minutes. There was many of them standing there waiting, said, oh my, I'm waiting until he's betrayed by his own familiar friend. I'm waiting until they pierce his hands and pierce his feet. I'm waiting for this, I'm waiting for that. And within a few hours, it was all come to pass. Hundreds of prophecies that had been for hundreds of years. And in a few minutes, it all comes together. Don't misplace the word. Don't look for something that's already come. And you must not dislocate the word. Anybody ever have a dislocated shoulder? It was taken from where it was supposed to be and removed. Out of joint, out of socket. Like a lot of people do quotes today. You know, they go through and all the preacher quotes and going to church quotes and Holy Spirit using the bride quotes, they just dislocate them into their shredder. And if we would do either of these, it throws the whole Bible in a confusion and in a chaos. Why? Dislocating. misplacing, misinterpreting the word. And yet we see it going all the time. God hiding himself in simplicity. Let's bring it down a little closer to today, 1963. And if you're taking it on tapes or anything, then you stay right with that tape teaching. Don't say nothing but what that tape says. Just say just exactly what the tape says. See, now, because some of those things, we're going to understand a whole lot about this now, why it's misunderstood. See, and you be sure to say just what the tapes say. Don't say nothing else. See, because I don't say that of my own. It's him that says it. You see, and so many times, confusion, people will rise up and say, well, so-and-so said it meant so-and-so. Now, this was in 1963, he's saying this. What would he say in 2018? Well, so-and-so said it meant so-and-so. He said, let's just leave it the way it is. Now, we've heard it sung, we've heard it preached, we've heard it taught for years. Don't tell me what he meant, just tell me what he said. And then I get up and I try to do that for people. I preach my heart out, Brother Daniel. I sweat and I spit and I slobber and I scream and I jump up and down and try to say what he said. And people get absolutely angry about it. People absolutely hate you over it for saying what he said. And the very ones that are so against preachers and against anything but the tapes, they should be the ones that could quote this the loudest. Say what the tapes say. Say what the tapes say. That's what they claim they believe. And yet, how many of them have you had come up to you and begin to have a conversation with you and tell you about 17 different things that they never got on a tape? They've told it to you maybe in the parking lot or maybe down at Walmart or maybe at McDonald's somewhere, and they'll approach you and they'll begin to beat you over the head for what you believe when you're standing there with a whole Bible and 1,200 and something tapes full of quotes to back up what you believe. And yet they come up with all this stuff off the top of their head or the bottom of their elbow or wherever they come it from, the back of their knee. I don't know where they get it from. Standing there saying something contrary to what the tapes that they claim they love says, and then they claim that we hate the tapes because we don't just listen to the tapes. I'm confused. I'm just trying to say what he said. Say what the tapes say. What happened to that? Seems like we just throw it out the window anymore. And anybody's opinion or anybody's thought or brother so-and-so said this. And bless God, wasn't that wonderful? And you hear all these doctrines and stuff rising up from these type of teachings. It doesn't say what the tapes say. If it does, maybe you've got a quote out of 66 or 67 that I don't have in the table app. Bring it to me and show it, because I can't find it between 47 and 65, some of the things that's being said. Just leave it just the way it is. See, that's the way we want the Bible. Just the way the Bible says it. That's the way we want it. Just like that. Don't put on no interpretation to it. It's already interpreted. Again, God hiding himself in simplicity. 1963. Just like it always been, the true word of God being made manifest, it's they're too smart and too educated to believe the simple form of the written word. They want to put their own interpretation to it. It don't mean this. It don't mean that. See, it does mean that, he says. Listen, may I say this right quick now? Even the visions that God gives here at the place, it's so misunderstood. That's the reason you hear me on the tapes say, say what the tapes say. Say what the visions say. I don't want to offend you too bad and make you stomp out of here and run out the back door and never come back again. But I'm going to say what he said tonight. He didn't say play what the tapes say. He said say what the tapes say. Now people go and say, bless God, that Brother Nathan doesn't believe in playing tapes. I played two of them Sunday, one Sunday morning and Sunday night. I believe in playing the tapes. But he didn't say just play the tapes. He said say what the tapes say. Say what the visions say. And then you meet somebody out in Kroger and they begin to beat you over the head and you try to say what they say. And bless God, you're just deceived and you're not following the right thing and you're not under the right headship and all this. No, no, I'm just trying to say what he said. All right. But their blood pressure rises when you try to say what he said. Trying to do God a service, 1964, before they went into the land, before they entered, Moses said, now the words that I have spoken to you, I call heaven and earth to witness against you. If you add one thing to it or take one word from it, you'll not stay in the land where the Lord gives you. So say I in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't you add one thing. Don't put your own ideas in it. You just say what is said on those tapes. You just do exactly what the Lord has commanded to do. Don't add to it. Don't add to it. Don't add your opinion of, well, I think we're going into this and I think we're going into that. That's not what he said. Well, I don't think we need this anymore. I don't think we need to do that anymore. I don't think we need all these rituals. And I don't think we need all this. And I don't think we need to go to church. And I don't think we need to read the Bible. Show me where he said it. Amen. Show me where he said it. I'll get up and preach it as hard as I can. Amen. They say, bless God. You know, we don't believe in this and we don't believe in that. Brother Branham did. Amen. Taking sides with Jesus. Now listen to what he says here, 1962. Now, he's sitting here with a group of minister brothers at a minister's meeting, and he's talking to him about his desire for what he sees for the future of the ministry. Now, it's on this tape, and if anybody would ever want to refer to it, Jim will have it, see, he's talking about Brother Jim McGuire. Jim will have it, see, to what I think ought to be done, and now what should be done to the for you brethren. Now, he puts this on a tape. And he says, this is what, if there's a question or whatever, if you want to go back and listen to it, Jim will have it on the tape. If you want to know what I think ought to be done for the minister brothers, go listen to this. And you go listen to it and see if that's the pattern that is projected around the message of what he taught. Say what the tapes say. Oneness, 1962, he said, I believe the same one that could overshadow Mary, that could create, he can also put a word in your mouth. I depend on him daily. Now, I just take him for what he said. If he would have said, he can also put a word in my mouth, then you could maybe have convinced me that he just meant him. But when he says he can put a word in your mouth, then I'll just write my name in there because that's what he taught me to do. When he says you're living under your privileges, then I take that and I read my name in, that Nathan Bryan is living under his privileges. When he says the bride hath made herself ready, I read myself in there. When he says that the bride will be the final voice to the final age, I don't put that off in another age. I don't put it off for another person. I read my name in there. Don't get me wrong. I don't think I'm the only one that's going to do all those things. You need to read your name in there too. You need to watch sometimes when he says things. I don't believe that he minced words. I don't believe that he stuttered and stumbled and just haphazardly said things. But if he says you, then you better be able to apply it to you. If he says you can receive your healing, don't take it for somebody in 1959. Say, thank you, Lord. I believe what the prophet said. I can receive my healing. If he says the Holy Ghost is for you, don't let the devil tell you you'll never get it. Read yourself in there. If he says your family can be saved, if you apply the token, don't put it off for somebody that's got a better family than you and better children than you and squeaky cleaner living people in their family lineage than you. Read yourself in there. Amen. Amen. He says he can also put a word in your mouth. I depend on him daily. And it's always his word. He can't say contrary to his word. Then if you say you're anointed and preach against the truths of God, then it's not the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now you notice he didn't say that they weren't anointed. He said that they weren't anointed by the Holy Ghost. If you say you're anointed and preach against the truths of God, then it's not the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Because when the Holy Ghost overshadows you, he brings the same thing because it's the word. The Holy Spirit isn't going to come and anoint you to say something contrary to what his word already said. Like I said before, it might be a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. Brother Bram said, you know, some of you businessmen wouldn't run your business that way, let alone God. Don't put that off on God. Just let him talk out of both sides of his mouth and say, well, Brother Hoover, you go do this, but Brother Jimmy, you don't have to do that, brother. I know the word said that, but you know, I'm expecting that of Brother Hoover, but I don't expect that of you. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Amen. Questions and answers on the seals, 1963. He's talking about when he read, he said 700 instead of 7,000. They come back and ask him over and over and over, did you mean it that way? He said, I didn't mean to say that like that. I'm a minister of the gospel. Many times as I've preached that, I know that was 7,000. I just happened to say 700. I didn't mean just 700. I meant you. I just didn't read it out of the scripture. It just come to my mind while I was talking. And I just said 700 instead of 7,000. I make them mistakes all the time. Can you say what he said? Can you say what the tapes say? Now, I just had a couple years ago, brother adamantly try to tell me that it was 700, that was some great supernatural, spiritual something that Brother Branham meant. It was a mystery that was hid that only the bride could catch. And I thought, read a little further, brother. He said, no, 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 no. They asked him over and over and over again. He said, no, I didn't mean to say that. He says it right here. He said, it just come to my mind while I was talking. I didn't go and read it out of the scripture. Now, don't throw that off on Brother Branham and say that he was some whatever because of that, because every person that's honest with themselves, you've done the same thing, whether you're a minister or whether you're a Sunday school kid. You've tried to say something, you've referenced it wrong, or you've quoted it a little bit wrong, or whatever it would be, so don't throw off on him because of that, but don't come and try to spiritualize some great mystery, something that he didn't spiritualize. Don't try to make a doctrine out of something that he never made a doctrine. Brother Branham will make a phrase or a statement, and you'll see doctrines and movements and groups and cults and things rise up over a statement that he never preached a doctrine on. He never preached a tape on. He never preached a series on. And yet they rally around it and focus on it, and that's all you ever hear him say. Why? Because they got focused on something. They begin to try to connect the dots, and that's all they can see. They got in a loop. Instead of a square, they made a big circle, and they just go around in a circle. That's all you ever hear him talk about. He says, I make them mistakes all the time. Now, we can argue and debate over whether prophets make mistakes or not. I can show you quotes that make it look either way. But obviously, there's a balance there somewhere. Amen. I don't believe that when he got up and he began to teach us revelation that he was making mistakes. If he did, the Holy Spirit brought it around and corrected it somewhere like he did on questions and answers on the seals. Because Brother Bram said the word for the day corrects the error for the day. But when you get up and you say adamantly that a prophet can't make any mistake, then was Brother Branham just being cute, or was he just being humble, or what do you say he was doing when he comes and he says, I ask him to forgive me for my mistakes? Why would he do that? Did he lie to us because he just wanted us to feel good because we had mistakes to ask forgiveness for? You got to find a balance there somewhere. Say what the tapes say. Don't be scared of a quote. Say what they say. Amen. I'm not scared of a quote. I'm not scared of a tape. I'm not scared of a scripture. Amen. I believe it. But I believe you've got to look at it with a balance. You can't run off on a limb and say, this is all that I believe over here. That limb will break off if you're not careful. You got to tie it through. Genesis to Revelations 47 to 65. And when you're standing there with that one sentence in your hand, or that half a scripture or half a quote, and you say, this is what I believe right here. And somebody else sticks a 3,000 page document down and says, well, this is what I believe here. And you're fanning your little paragraph, that doesn't mean your paragraph is wrong. It's still part of the word. It just means you probably connected the dots wrong, if that's all you've got to stand on. That one little 3-inch square, bless God, my whole eternal destination, I'm dependent on that right there. Well, I hope if it's really the word, then that's probably enough. That's all you need. It's eternal. But if it's your interpretation that you've got yourself boxed off in a little corner because you've tried to connect the dots on your own and that's all you can see, and you're blinded to everything else that the word says, I hope that's not all you're dependent on, is your little 3-inch square, when there's miles and miles and miles of the full Pentecostal skies, as Brother Branham talked about. Amen. Questions and answers number one, 1964. I'm working in the will of the Lord as far as I know how to work in it, see? That's the reason, if you believe what I say, then do what I say. That's pretty simple, isn't it? See, then listen to me and believe me as your brother. If you believe me to be a prophet, don't misinterpret my words. If there's anything, so help me, if there's anything that you should know that God would tell me, God knows I would tell you just exactly. That throws away all this. Well, see, you know, he just said this over here to blind the unbeliever. I'm sure you've heard that. Whenever you produce a quote that they don't like, you know, that's their go-to. Well, he just said that to blind the unbeliever. You ought to say, well, he's doing a pretty good job at it, apparently. When you draw a period and say, well, I don't believe this, you'll never convince me that he came and purposely tried to blind anybody. What type of a man of God would that be? Jesus didn't come and purposely try to blind the Pharisees. They were just blind. They couldn't help it. They was blind before the foundation of the world. They was God had already looked down through time and saw that they was going to be blind. He said, you're blind leaders of the blind. You're going to fall in the ditch, both of you. But he didn't make them blind. They was already blind. He didn't come and try to deceive them and confuse them. He tried to show the light to them, but they couldn't receive it because it didn't come their way. He said, if there was anything that you should know, God knows I would tell you just exactly. What's he doing? He's preaching here. He's just come from 1963 opening the seals, and he's preached God in simplicity. And he comes and he lays it out, and he preaches some of the greatest mysteries that's been hid since way back there when John sealed them up, or before the foundation of the world, however you want to look at it. And here he is standing there, and God's positioning, placing him into this position to reveal the word, and he does it in such a way that an eight-year-old child can pick it up and say, oh, I see what that seal is. Because he didn't try to do something. You know, you see some of these guys and it's some big mysterious thing. And, oh, you've just got to. It even creeps around the message. There's cults outside of the message that do the same thing. But it creeps right into the message. Oh, it's just a mystery. It's got to be revealed to you. I can't tell you. I can't let you in on my little secret. It's a mystery. It's got to be revealed to you. You never hear Brother Branham saying that. You know, God revealed the seals to me. The angel revealed it in my bedroom there in the den. But it's just a mystery. I can't share it with you. It's some super duper thing that only I can know, and I'm hiding from you. A real messenger of God won't do that. Somebody that's trying to hold their people under fear might do that. But a real messenger of God won't do that. They're to reveal the word, not hide the word from you. Paul said, I shun not to declare unto you the whole gospel. He didn't say, I hid some back for me so I could be more super duper spiritual than you. I shun not to declare unto you the whole gospel. Now, Brother Branham comes around. He says, God knows I would tell you just exactly. I wouldn't make it some big mysterious thing that the little humble housewife and the little children couldn't get, but only some super duper theologian that studied for 73 years could get and see. He says, God knows I would tell you just exactly. And don't add to it or take away from it. Just do it just the way I say it, see? Because I'm telling you from my heart the best that I know. That does away with all this blinding the unbeliever and some mysterious thing that you got to come under some secret society or something, some subculture of the message to get it. He said, I'm telling you just as plain as I know how. Amen. I believe in saying what the tapes say. Amen. Untrue to popular demand, I love the tapes. I love to listen to the tapes. I love to hear that prophet's voice. I'm just trying to do what he said. Amen. I don't want to just say what he said. I want to do what he said. I want to put it into action. Amen. God help us tonight. Oh, it's easy for somebody to rise up and try to connect the dots and put something together. And oh, look at this great super duper something that I've got over here. But does it match what the original said? Can you take it back like Brother Branham did? He could take it back and run it right through Paul's writings. When he preached the serpent seed, he didn't have to say, now look, I don't have any scripture for this, but you know, the angel told me and I am vindicated, so here it is. You just gotta take me at my word. He took us back and showed us in the scripture. Amen. When he preached us the seals, he took us back and showed us in the scriptures. When he preached the Godhead, he didn't leave the scriptures. He took us right back to the scriptures. When he preached holiness, when he preached all these great mysteries and all the restoration of the word, he didn't take us to the Book of the Mormon or the Koran or somebody's opinion. He took us right back to the scriptures. So when you hear somebody saying things and you think, well, I don't know. They claim they've got a quote and they claim they've got this and they got that. And maybe they can twist something to make it look, but can they run it through this? Can they run it through the Bible? Can they show you where Moses said it? Can they show you where Paul taught it? Can they show you where John the Revelator showed it to us? Or is it just some opinion that they formed for the age that we live in by trying to twist a quote or twist a scripture or something? Can they really bring it through the scripture? If not, you better be careful. Brother Ram said, that's Eve's interpreter. It rises up all over the message. Little followings here and little followings there, little groups, little doctrines, little cliques, and you know, then they can't fellowship with nobody else because they're afraid they'll get deceived. Don't fellowship with them. They're blind. They're deceived. They're this, they're that. Oh, the Holy Spirit doesn't try to isolate you away from the world and isolate you away from other believers and isolate you away from everything else. The Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, sent them right out in the streets. And they said, hey, this is that. This is that. We've got it. It didn't say, hey, psst. This is an exclusive thing. Come over here and let me tell you this. They were out in the streets everywhere boldly preaching the gospel. They weren't ashamed of it. They were proud of it. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Well, I hope I didn't make you mad. I hope I made you glad. You say, Brother Nathan, some of those things are offensive to people. Well, the gospel has always been offensive. Jesus, when he went down there, the disciples said, "Don't you know that you offended those Pharisees? They were upset about what you said." He said, I must be about my Father's business. I'm just telling them the truth. They don't have to like it, but I'm telling them the truth. God help us to stand for the truth. A lot of times, if we're not careful, we get so scared of hurting somebody's feelings or disagreeing with somebody. I don't want to go out and just intentionally try to hurt somebody or intentionally disagree with somebody. But when it comes to compromising with the Word, I'm going to do what he said. I'm going to say what the tapes say. I'm going to stand with an absolute in this age. I'm going to say what the Bible says. I'm going to say what the tapes say. And if you can't come and show me where they say it plainly, not you trying to connect a dot over here and a dot over there and half a sentence over here, and well, I'm going to loop it way over here to this other tape over in 64 and this half a sentence over here and loop it back over to 47 and loop it over here and splice it all together and try to make something. No. No, Brother Branham didn't do that. Show it to me plainly. Show it to me plainly in the Word. Amen. We have that right, you know, as believers. We don't have to just swallow everything down. If I get up here and start to teach something, you say, Brother Nathan, you ain't got no scripture for that. You ain't got no quote for that. You don't have to sit there and swallow it down just because I'm the pastor. I would never do it intentionally. But if I ever do, don't just sit there and take it because I'm the pastor and say, oh, wait a minute, there's a red flag there. That just didn't match what the Word said. But if it's the Word and it's the scripture and it's the quotes and it's not just one place or two places, but it's over and over and over and over, then don't be afraid to amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit in you will amen the Word. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come, let's just bow our heads together. Lord, I recognize, Lord, in every age, all the way back, we traced it tonight all the way back to the book of Genesis, that spirits and false teachers have tried to come in and misinterpret, mislocate, misplace your Word, dislocate it rather. They've tried to present it in a way that's contrary to what's already been taught. But Lord, the real true bride down through every age stayed right with that original Word. Didn't matter what was displayed, what was tried to be worked up, or what was tried to be taught. They went back to what the Word said. Lord, may that be our anchor. May it be our foundation. Lord, help us to stay with what's on the tapes. Lord, help us not to form a following or Lord, for me to ever try to raise up and be some personality that people would follow and just because of the church or because of something that I teach or whatever it would be, Father. But may we continue just to point the people to Jesus Christ. Lord, may I not point them to some super duper revelation that I've tried to work up or figure out, but may I point them back to the Word. Lord, if we can't find it in the Word, then, Lord, it can't have quickening power. It can't be something that you would put your stamp of approval on, that the Holy Ghost would condone if it's contrary to the Word. So, Lord, help us to stay behind the Word. That was where Eve got into trouble in the first place. She got out from behind the Word. But, Lord, help us to stand for the truth. Lord, I know it's unpopular. I know it's misunderstood. But Lord, help us, regardless of what the teaching would be, regardless of what the doctrine would be that would rise up. There's been so many down through the years. Father, it was already, you can just read the quotes of the prophet and see that it was already starting back there, people misunderstanding and misinterpreting and taking things out of context. And how much more is it magnified down through year after year and generation after generation? And Lord, we've seen little risings rise up here and there following a personality or a doctrine or a group or whatever it would be. And they rise and they fall and they go and they have all kinds of ideas, Father. But Lord, if it's contrary to what's already been taught, help us, Lord, not to try to figure out some super duper something outside of what's already been taught, but help us to stay with what the word said. Lord, as Paul said, Lord, we don't want to teach anything different than what he had already brought us, Father. We don't want to teach anything contrary. Lord, when Brother Branham could stand there beyond the curtain of time in that dimension, Lord, and say with all honesty in his heart, I taught the same thing that Paul taught, and those millions of voices cried out, we're resting on it. Oh, Lord, then why would we want something that would contradict what Paul taught? Why would we want something that would contradict what the message taught? Lord, I'm resting on it tonight. I'm resting on those words of eternal life. I'm resting not on the unfailing, not on a man, Father. I'm not resting on a personality or on a person, but Lord, I'm resting on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Oh, Lord Jesus, may you quicken it to our hearts tonight. Oh, Lord, may you just shake our conscience, Father. Lord, may we be careful when we begin to see things rise up. May we be careful where we're walking and what, Lord, how we're receiving things. May we not just swallow it down, Father, but may we take it back and see if it's in tune with that original word or if it's an uncertain sound that's sounding off key or off beat from what the original said, Father. Help us, Lord, to have singleness of heart on you and on your word, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Are you happy tonight? Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. Thank you, Father. It's the we've got something to be happy about tonight. Oh, can't you see why? Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the sing it together tonight. Choked up a little bit in my prayer there, and maybe you wondered at the beginning of the prayer why I paused so long. I was showing Brother Furman, I had wrote that down for tonight. Can't you see why I'm happy? Sister Stephanie comes over and starts playing it. You believe the Holy Spirit still moves?
Yes.
Amen. He still works. Amen. He leads and guides. Amen. He doesn't just lead the pastor. He can lead you. He can lead you right down to somebody that needs encouragement, that needs witnessing, that needs help. He can lead you and guide you. He can lead you to the right job. He can lead you to the right school. He can lead you to the right spouse. Some of you young single people that's starting to look, he can lead you. Let him do the leading. Don't try to force something. Don't try to make it work. Don't try to be something that you're not. Let him lead you. He'll never lead you wrong. Amen. Brother requested we sing this tonight. Help me sing it. Oh, I want to be ready. Yes, I want to be ready to go.
Did a little research as a young man back in the 1800s, wrote this poem when he was either 12 or 16 years old, and he died when he was 27. So let's just tell the Lord that we love him tonight. By Jesus' name. I love it. 676 in your hymn book. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious
away. It's to a home.
just like a bird from prison bars. Yes, I